Night to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to preach a message to as a way of introducing our invite campaign. And I know we got COVID-19 going on, and I've been reading on Facebook, and there's people on Facebook saying ain't nobody ever going to visit a brand new church during this and all that, but you know, like anything, we as Christians just need to learn to trust the Lord and ask Him to bless how He wants to bless. And so so in the midst of this COVID-19 thing, I just think that the right thing to do is to go out and win people to Jesus and see people saved and lives changed as a result of it. So we're gonna move ahead with our invite campaign and see what the Lord might be able to do for our church and for the souls that need to be saved. Look at verse number 12, and we'll read down to verse number 31. The Bible says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased them. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Father, we pray that you'd help us to see the truths of your word tonight. We pray that you'd help us as we venture out onto this invite campaign, that you'd bless the tracts that are given, the gospel that is passed out and presented, and we pray, God, that you would use it for your honor and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach a message tonight entitled, "Fitly Formed with Value and Vision." Fitly formed with value and vision. As we look at this, this passage of Scripture is talking about the body of Christ, specifically the local body of Christ. And it's talking about how that the members fit together and how that God orchestrates that in order that a church might accomplish the task that God has given them. Thus the part of the title, "Fitly Formed." Fitly formed. And the church is fitly formed by God. Look in verse number 18. The Bible says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." Now, The problem, a little bit of a doctrinal instruction here. The problem with applying this passage of Scripture, how some want to apply it, and apply it to a universal church or to the body as being every person that is born again, the problem you run into a few problems. First, verse number 18 says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." Now, the Calvinist would love this verse and for you to apply it to a global universal body. Because verse 8, if this is a global universal body of every believer and not a local church, then verse 18 is very good for the Calvinist who says that God chooses who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Read it again. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." In other words, you have nothing that you do in order to be. You cannot come to Christ unless God wants you to. And I don't think that's the truth. I think that God wants everybody to come to Him. God hasn't said, "Okay, I want that person. It's not like God's a captain at kickball on the playground at an elementary school.
That's right. Amen, brother.
Come on.
That's good preaching.
I mean, how many of you ever had played kickball in elementary school or some other game, and there were two captains and they were picking, and there was always the last few that got picked always last because nobody wanted them to be on their team, right? It's like God, they're thinking, well, God has picked everybody that He wants on His side. Now, when you do pick teams, let me ask you something. When you pick teams, do you pick the worst people?
No.
Or you pick the best people? It's amazing to me how many rich people there are that don't believe in God. How many scientists, supposedly smart scientists, that try to tell you that God didn't create the world and that it was created through evolution and that we come from monkeys and all that. It's amazing to me how a lot of the university professors deny God, hate God, even though they say God doesn't exist. I'm still trying to figure out how you hate something that you don't think exists at all. You know, I've never seen somebody get up and throw a fit about someone talking about leprechauns. You know why? Because every reasonable person understands leprechauns don't exist. Right?
Right, yeah.
But we don't say, "Well, I'll tell you what, we ought not to mention leprechauns because, you know, we know leprechauns don't exist." Nobody gets mad when you start talking about leprechauns or having some sort of make-believe story or something about leprechauns. So my point is this: if God was picking teams, why wouldn't He pick the best of the best to be on His team?
Amen.
I'm wondering why He picked me.
Amen, bro.
Aren't you? Yeah. I mean, most everybody I've ever met, in fact, I don't think I've ever met somebody that says, "Yeah, I know why God picked me." I don't think I've ever met anybody like that. So I'm wondering, you know, if God picks teams, why wouldn't He pick the best of the best, quote unquote?
Amen.
But you know, the Bible says that He uses the base, the foolish things, the base things to do His work. So that's the problem you have if you apply this to the universal body of Christ or the universal church, is that then the Calvinists are like, "Yeah, we like verse 18, okay?" But we know from other passages of Scripture, God doesn't go, "Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by his toe, you're in heaven, you're in hell." Okay? So that can't be. So we're talking about a local church. Then in chapter 12, it's talking about a local body, a local church. And verse 8, what verse 18 is saying is that God sets the members, every one of them in the body, the local church, as it hath pleased Him. He doesn't pick and choose who gets saved, but He picks and He chooses as it pleases Him who He puts where in a local church. In other words, God fitly forms a church. That's why, that's one of the reasons why anyways, it is not a good thing to be someone that's a church hopper. Because you know what you're revealing to yourself, you're revealing about yourself that you have no idea what God's doing in your life at all. When you go from one church to another church to another church to another church, what you're telling people is, I have no idea what God's trying to do with me. Because you're going from one to another to another to another, you're not allowing Him to put you where He pleases you. You're wanting to go where it pleases you. There's a big difference. God fitly forms the church together to function together with value and vision to carry out that which God wants a church to accomplish. So I want you to know that you're here because God wants you here. You're here because you belong here, not because I say you belong here, and not even because you say you belong here, but I just know my God, and my God said, I set the members in a church as it pleases me. So let me give you a few things about the members of the church tonight. First of all, every member is important. Every member is important. Look back in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now, come on. If you had only noses, there would be a major problem. I mean, can you imagine having a nose here and nose here and nose here? You could. That might not be such a good thing if you go where we went this last weekend. They have a plant where we went. They have a plant or something that it does not smell very good. So if we had three noses, man, we would have been in complete desperation. Right? But, I mean, can you imagine, though, instead of having a nose, you have an ear, so now you have three ears? You could hear everything people were saying about you. That's one thing you'd know. I mean, you could hear everything. Nobody would say anything past you. But you wouldn't be able to taste your food very well. Because let me tell you something, if food don't smell good to me, there ain't something wrong with it. I don't eat tuna, because you know why? Because tuna about make me vomit every time I smell it. So I know it doesn't taste good just because I smell that it doesn't taste good. I'm just saying, I'm kind of glad that I can smell things. I'm kind of glad that I can hear things. Right? And the Bible says, if the ear shall say, I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? You could see everything, but you wouldn't be able to hear anything or smell anything or taste anything. My point is that the main point that the Bible is trying to get across here is that every member is important. Just because you're not the pastor doesn't mean you're not important. Just because you're not the deacon doesn't mean that you're not important.
Yes, sir.
Just because you don't have some title that you either desire to have or think you ought to have doesn't mean you're not important. Every member is important. Secondly, every member was placed here by God. We kind of clearly took care of that in the beginning of fitly formed. We're fitly formed together. Every member was placed here by God. So if you're here tonight and you're a member, it's because God wanted you here.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it should be a message to other people. Hey, don't be... That's why it's all, later on it talks about there should be no schism in the body. Because every member was put here by God. So for you to cause some division or some schism over some person, or to say, well, I'm not going to do this or this person, I'm not going to sit by this person, I'm not going to look at that person, I'm not, and to treat a person less important or as if they are not, whoa, God put them there. So you're to work with them. And you're to minister with them. And you're to love them. And you're to care about them. Because God put them here. You didn't. And it's not your choice who is and who isn't. Every member is important. Every member was placed here by God. Accept God's will. Accept God's will that it's His will that you're here. And accept God's will that someone else is here because He wants them here. He has fitly formed the church. Number three, every member is needed. Let's look in verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Now look, he says, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. He says, the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. Now can you imagine the head? The head contains the brain, right? So can you imagine the brain saying, hey, walk over there. And the body saying, I can't because you cut them off. Because you didn't want me to have them, right? The head can't say to the feet, I have no need of you. Yeah, the head can tell the feet to move, but if the feet aren't there, you ain't going nowhere. Yeah. Right? The feet can't say, I don't need the head. Vice versa, the feet can't say, I don't need the head. You know why? Because the feet may want to walk, but unless the brain tells it to put one leg in front of the other, it can't go nowhere. They have to work in sync. The brain has to tell the feet to move, and the feet have to move. And the feet have to need the brain in order to tell it to move or it can't move. So they have to work together, the head telling the feet to move, to move, to move. See? Every member is important. Every member was placed here by God, and every member is needed. How many of you today would say, I don't need my nose? I don't need my ears? I don't need my hands. I don't need my feet. I don't need my brain. Well, there are some of you that we wonder whether you have it or not. But whatever it is up there that you do have, you want to keep it, right? Whatever it is that I may have up there, I'd like to keep whatever it is that's up there. I don't want to give you my hands or my feet or my head or my nose or my ears. I don't want to, or my eyes. I don't want to give away any of that. I want to be able to experience life with all of them. Amen. Why? Because I need them to be able to do the things that I do. Now we understand that some people have lost the ability to do some of these things, and they learn how to adapt and to function. But if I have a choice, I don't choose to give away any of those things.
Amen.
I want all my body to function how it's supposed to. Well, in the body, every member is needed. Remember, we're fitly formed with value. With value. Every member is important. Every member is placed here by God. Every member is needed. Remember the title. It's fitly formed. God has fitly formed the church with value and vision. There is value to your life. There is value to your membership here. There is value to you being a part of Majesty Baptist Church. God places value on you to be able to work together with all the other members of the body of Christ to carry out His will. He has fitly formed this church with valuable people to His work. Now, we're not valuable because of us. We're valuable because He makes us valuable. It is God that gives us that value. You know, if you want to buy into the Joel Osteen idea that you can just look far enough down inside it and you'll find the champion down inside of you that will allow you to live the life that God wanted you to live, on that, it's God being placed inside of you that allows you to live the life that God wants you to live.
Yes, sir.
You don't have... Look, God gives you your value. Hey, and by the way, an unsaved person has value because they are the creation of God, made in the image of God, and God wants them to come to repentance. God wants them to call upon the Lord Jesus to be saved. And so God has fitly formed the church with value, but there's value outside the church, and we are the ones that God has fitly formed together with valuable people through His Son Jesus to go out and to find those others that need someone, that need comfort and compassion and grace and mercy and love. So they can find their own value, not in themselves, but the value that God has placed upon their lives through Jesus Christ. So every member is important. Every member was placed here by God. Every member is needed, and every member has a purpose. Every member has a purpose. Verse 27, the Bible says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after the miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret?" Every member has a purpose. Not everybody can do everything. Amen. Not everybody can do all the stuff that needs to be done. Now, obviously, there's some things that they're talking about here that we don't even do anymore, Amen. Like speaking in tongues. But nevertheless, it says He's given us first apostles. Well, there's no apostles left. Anybody that says, "I'm apostle so-and-so," is they have no idea what they're talking about. They have no understanding of Scripture.
Amen.
Okay, because apostles are those that were chosen by God, who walked on the earth, who actually saw the ministry of Jesus.
Amen.
So if you didn't see the ministry of Jesus, you can't be an apostle. And as far as I know, nobody here saw Jesus when He was alive. As far as I know, nobody's really that old. I know that we tease some people about being as old as Noah. But none of us are that old, right? So we haven't seen the Jesus, there's no apostles now. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Prophets, another word for prophets today can be preachers, pastors. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? I'm just simply saying, the point He's trying to get across here is not everybody can do everything, and not everybody has the gifts to do everything. So when you look, God's given you gifts. He's given you gifts. He's made you valuable to His work and to His kingdom by giving you gifts. You have value in Jesus Christ, but you also have value because of how God created you and made you and the gifts that He gave you. He has fitly formed the church together with value. You're valuable because every member has a purpose. Not everybody can do everything. And can I let you in on a secret? And you know what? I'm the pastor, but I'm going to just tell you right now, because I wouldn't be a good one if I didn't tell you. Pastor can't do everything. Nor was the pastor gifted to do everything. Nor was the pastor equipped to do everything. Nor was God's plan ever that the pastor do everything. He fitly formed together a group of people to form a church with value and gifts to be able to accomplish His will and His purpose. So every member has a purpose. You know what the problem is? We're all important. We're all placed here by God. We're all needed. We all have a purpose. But you know what the problem is? Much of the time we're selfish. We want to do what we want to do. We want to live how we want to live. We want to participate in the things that we want to participate in. I mean, if there's any thing that highlights that anymore than this COVID-19 thing. Oh, yeah, we can't go nowhere. We can't do this. Oh. But you know what? Come Monday, the majority of people are going to work on Monday because they got a mortgage to pay. They got to stay out of church on Sunday because of all this stuff. And look, I'm not downing anybody or looking down on anybody who stays out of church. I'm just simply saying, don't tell me you need to quarantine and then you went to Sam's Club when 300,000 other people were there. Oh, I'm quarantining so I don't get it. But, I'm going to go to work and I'm going to go do all the things of entertainment that I like to do, and I'm still going to do everything else, but you know what? I can't go to church. Hey, if you don't go to church because of the COVID thing, that's fine. Listen to the messages online and stuff. But don't tell me that and then go to work and go to church, or go to work and go to entertainment and go to Sam's and go to Walmart and go to the theater. How dumb is the governor of California saying, well, we need to control it. No more than 250 people need to meet together, except for the casinos can stay open, the movie theaters can stay open, and Disneyland can stay open. Now that's what he said. Disneyland did shut down on its own. After they found out one of their workers was infected. About 30 minutes after the governor spoke. Churches that are over 250 people don't need to have church. But Disneyland can stay open. That's what the governor said. So I'm just simply saying, we need to be taking the measures that we feel led to take, but don't lie to ourselves and say, well, I'm doing what's best for me, blah, 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 about this COVID thing, but you're going to go to every other place that you'd normally go but church. Yeah. My point is this: every member has a purpose, and sometimes we get so focused on ourselves, so selfish, that we want to do what we want to do, and we don't want to fulfill the purpose that God fitly formed us into a church to do. Do you believe God put you here?
Yes.
Then He fitly formed you here with value. Value in the fact that Jesus is inside of you, and value in the fact that He's given you gifts to use to fulfill the commission that God gave to the church. So you're important. You're placed here by God. You're needed, and you have a purpose. So what does this all tell us? Here's our application tonight. As members of the local church body, it's important that we all value one another and that all of us pitch in to do our part in carrying out the mission of the church given to us by Jesus Christ. As members of the local church body, it's important that we all value one another and all of us pitch in to do our part in carrying out the mission given to us by Jesus Christ. You were fitly formed together into this church with value and vision. The vision for every local church should be to win the lost to Jesus Christ. Amen. And to expand the kingdom of God. And every person should be involved. Every person that's a part of the church should be involved. Amen. No one's exempt because everybody has a purpose. Everybody's needed. Everybody's either an eye, an ear, a nose, a hand, or a foot. And you can't say, they don't need me. That's what the passage says. The passage says you can't say, they don't need me. Yes, we do. Amen. They can't say, I'm not going to do it because I'm not something else. You can't do that. Because God fitly formed you into this church to accomplish with value in Jesus Christ and value in the gifts that He's given you to accomplish the vision that God has given to the church. Well, you know, I don't think that I should. No, you're needed. You're important. You were placed here. You're fitly formed with value and vision to accomplish that which God has for us. That's what the Bible says. And look, our only alternative when we choose not to be a part, when we choose not to be involved, when we choose not to do those things, our only alternative is to say, I choose to disobey God. Amen. Not the preacher. Yep. Don't pull that. Don't put it on me. Not on me, because the preacher is simply the person who tells forth what God has said. Right. And God said in His Word that you're important, that you're placed here, that you're needed, and that He has given you a purpose. God said that, I didn't. Amen. Yeah. So when you say, I'm not going to participate, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to be a part, then what you're saying is, I choose to disobey God. So, that's where it is. We're either fitly formed together and we're participating with value that God has given to us to carry out His vision, or we're saying, I will not do what God says. Now, that's the only two choices that 1 Corinthians 12 gives to us. And let me just get right down and frank with you. There's things that have to be done around here that doesn't happen on Sunday. The lawn has to be mowed and weed-eated and cared for. The building has to be cleaned and maintained, or the visitors that come in will say, whoa, I don't want to go back to that church. Tracts need to be distributed. People need to be given the gospel. Whether or not, you know, they're not always going to be receiving the gospel, but we always need to be giving the gospel. You know how a church gives the gospel? The church has to be involved. You know who the church is? It's you. The church is not this building. The church is you. Now, we have a building and we have to maintain the building, and so the church, the people, need to come to the building to get some things ready. But every member is important, is placed here by God, is needed, and has a purpose to accomplish His vision for the church. And we got to get some stuff done that don't happen on Sunday. And you need to be a part of it. If you don't have a job, get one. And I'm not talking about a secular job. I'm talking about a church job. If you don't have a church job that's not on Sunday, get one. Because that the Bible makes it very clear we're all to be involved and participating. If you're not going soul winning, well, guess what? Soul winning starts this Saturday. Every Tuesday and Saturday, find a day, go. Say, I work on Tuesday and Saturday. We've got maps. Look, I'm just saying, if you want to participate, if you want to do what God has called us to do, if you want to do what God has fitly formed you to into this church to do, you can do it. It's just a matter of whether you choose to obey God or disobey it. It's just a matter of whether you're going to do what God says or not. It's just a matter of whether you're going to love your community and love people enough to go out and give the gospel to somebody, or whether you're going to say, I don't care. And I'm just going to flatly tell you, if you don't give the gospel to people, whether through tracts, distribution of tracts, or by giving the gospel, telling them the death, burial, and resurrection, and going through the whole thing, if you don't do it, you don't care.
Amen.
And if you don't care, shame on you.
Amen.
Because you were put in the body, fitly formed together, with value that God has given to you to carry out the vision He gave to the church.
Amen.
And you ought to be a part of it. Father, we thank You for Your many blessings. We thank You for this message. We thank You for allowing us to be here tonight. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that in the midst of all of the distress and the despair that's going on, we pray, God, that we would choose to be involved. That we would choose to be doing the things that God wants us to do. That we would be participating in giving the gospel out and passing out tracts and doing that which God has for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.